All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, if this episode sounds a little bit different, it's because I actually recorded it from the President Abraham Lincoln Hotel in Springfield, Illinois. I'm down here for the annual session, 174th to be exact, for the state of Illinois. I'm really excited. It's my first time at any Grand Lodge sessions. I look forward to doing some shopping, buying some trinkets and things. I hope the images and pictures and Facebook posts that I'm doing over the weekend don't bombard you with anything. I hope more than anything, it becomes entertaining. And because of the busy schedule that I've got, and I'm recording this downstate, actually it's not really downstate, it's more midstate, I'm going to need to keep this episode a little bit on the shorter side. So I've got two things planned for you, as well as a famous Freemason at the end, and we will go ahead and get started. And the first thing that I wanted to read was actually something that was prepared by Matthew J. Tahiri for his lodge regarding education, which I'm sure he delivers on a somewhat regular basis. And the paper that he wrote is very short, but I think you'll get it. And I'll read it just the way that he has it written. My brothers, this week's paper relates to something many of us have thought about frequently. Why do we meet in a lodge even after we received the degrees? While there are many reasons, I think that the simplest is truly the most important. We often use the allegory of building our temple from the foundation up to allude to our continuous efforts toward being outstanding human beings, to improve ourselves so that we might improve the world around us. We are taught that although this might be done on our own, it is best done with the aid of loving brethren. The degrees aren't the toil themselves. They are the architecture, the design, and the method of practice of construction. They are the foundation. The construction itself is left to us. Let this remind us that every time we bring ourselves before the lodge, we bring ourselves before our brethren. This is one of the reasons as to why attendance is truly important. When we bring ourselves before our brethren, we allow ourselves an opportunity to assist in improving their lives, and in turn, allow them an opportunity to improve ours. The great temple of Solomon was not built by one man, but by many men with many points of view and bits of wisdom to offer. Take such constructive criticism as just what it is: the input of a skilled craftsman into the erection of a temple, not the snide remark some individuals may interpret. And as importantly, give only that criticism that you think might help. Talk not judgmentally, but wisely and concerned, because if you lend your opinion in the regard of the erection of a temple, and that temple fails, you will be partly responsible. Matthew J. Tahiri, Palmanac, Port Washington Lodge, number 855, New York. So Matt Tahiri is actually a listener of the show, and he's listened for quite a while. He's a really intelligent guy, and I really appreciate him letting me read that on the show. Thanks very much, Matt. We'll talk to you soon. I hope you have some more to share with us. Next, before we jump into the meat of the episode, I just want to quickly get it out of the way that if you like the show and you want to help support it, we do have a few ways to listen, which are paid ways to listen, although there are many that are free. These two, or three ways rather, are through the apps. We have a Windows 8 app, we have a Apple app, and an Android application. All three of them do the same thing. They let you stream the show, download your favorites, mark your favorites. But the difference is, when you buy the application for $2, what you get every week is access to the papers that we read via PDF, and you also get a Masonically themed wallpaper for your mobile device. And like I said, a little bit of that $2 comes back to us, which helps support the show. If you have Stitcher Smart Radio, find us on there and check us out. It's another free way to listen. If you don't have Stitcher Smart Radio, you can download it for free from any of the app stores, Google Play Store, the Apple Store, and like I said, it is free. But you have to register, and when you do register, that is also free. If you put in the promo code Whence Came You with no spaces, then what they do is they send us $1 to help support the show. Again, offsets are cost. They send us the dollar. You don't have to send anything, but it helps support us. Also, if you're into supplements and healthy living, you should check out our affiliate, Onnit Labs. Go to our website, www.wcypodcast.com. Find the links for Onnit Labs. Click through, and when you check out, use the promo code WCY. And what that does is it gives you an additional 10% off. And a little bit of the sale money comes right back to the show to, again, offset any hosting costs or equipment costs that we do incur. Okay, now I just wanted to mention that Brother Joseph James is working on a high-definition trailer for the new movie The Freemason, which should be out very soon. As soon as it comes out, you can bet your bottom dollar we're going to grab that. We're going to put it on the blog. We're going to put it on the Facebook page and share that with everybody. Really looking forward to seeing a trailer for it. Like I said, I watched the whole movie. It's amazing, even though what I saw was not a final cut. Look forward to that. We'll jump right into this week's main paper, which is entitled Ego. Now, I don't know about you guys, but ego is something that I think about a lot, considering in Masonry we have so many degrees and higher degrees and higher degrees. Why are there higher degrees? Well, we're told that there are higher degrees because these are just numbered degrees to put some sort of a sort or order to the moral lessons that these degrees confer upon the individual. But no doubt, this has been misconstrued at times as higher degrees being better, more light given. When in actuality, it's not really the case. If it were, higher degrees could be construed as entirely egotistical. I think it's important to remember that higher degrees, and this is just a side note to the paper, are for additional light. There are no degrees that are higher than anything else. There are, in fact, honorary degrees, both within the Scottish Rite, York Rite, Commandery, that honor you for the contributions you have made within the craft. But as far as any higher or lower than anybody else, as everybody says, it doesn't get any higher than the Master Mason degree. Ego. All too frequently, we hear of Masonic leaders being on an ego trip, or we hear that they are stumbling over their own egos. Then there are such remarks as, he turned into a monster after he went into office, or whatever happened to meeting on the level. Those comments are not all without some foundation. There are and have been Masonic leaders who are carried away with their own importance. Yes, and there are some who let the title go to their heads, and who forget from whence they came. Ego is a strange thing. We all should have a certain amount of it to demonstrate our pride in our abilities, in our accomplishments, and in our self-respect. It is only when we get to the point that we tend to believe that we're better, smarter, or more important than the next fellow that egos get in our way. Masonry has never been considered a democratic society. The master of a lodge is not only its leader, but more importantly, he is the greatest servant. As such, he has an obligation to serve his lodge and his brethren, not for his own glory and honor, but for the good of the lodge. He must be prudent in all of his words and actions, and if necessary, subjugate his own desires to those of the lodge. Masters, though, are not the only ones whose egos have tendency to hurt the craft. Longfellow said, quote, "Into each life some rain must fall," end quote. The phrase might well be reworded to, in almost every lodge, there is a nitpicker, or so it seems. There are some of our brethren who are never satisfied. They look for an excuse to criticize, to complain, to jaw, to sound off, to grouch, to nitpick. Their ego, as shown by their need to be heard, is frequently a thorn in the side of the master and officers. They have a tendency to ruffle feathers. The Masonic Service Association recently received a letter from an irate past Grand Master who had read in a Masonic publication a paper bearing the byline of a Grand Lodge officer in a sister jurisdiction. It was a good, thought-provoking, well-written article which caused the past Grand Master to do some added research on the topic. What prompted his ire and disgust was that, in his research, he came across a short talk bulletin of 25 years ago which sounded very familiar. When he compared it with the recent publication, he found that it was word for word, sentence by sentence, and paragraph by paragraph, identical to the short talk bulletin, yet the author had not had the courtesy to give credit where credit was due. His ego had permitted him to let readers think it was his words and his thoughts. The story has been told of a Grand Master who was so puffed up with his own importance that his officers jokingly suggested that his theme song should be "How Great Thou Art." Most of us have seen masters of lodges who think that the title of worshipful was created just for their benefit. And then there are past officers whose egos won't let them relinquish the gavel. Two people with their hands on the steering wheel at the same time can make it an unpleasant trip for the other passengers. If the master is not in control of the lodge, it's an unpleasant experience for the brethren. The old expression, "too many cooks spoil the broth," is equally applicable to the management of a lodge or a grand lodge. Yes. An overzealous ego can and does damage our craft. It is a byproduct of poor leadership traits, which we need to identify early in our progressive lines. In many cases, ego can be tempted by whispering words of wise counsel in the ear of an erring brother. In a worst-case scenario, when it is obvious that the overblown ego cannot be controlled, it may be necessary to pass the brother over at the next election. In the Freemason's Monitor, written by Thomas Smith Webb in 1799, he observes, quote, "that all who accept offices and exercise authority should be promptly qualified to discharge the task assigned to them, with honor to themselves and credit to their sundry stations," end quote. The same is just as true almost 200 years later. When elected to office, the brothers are confident that the one elected has the qualifications and the ability to lead and has the best interests of the lodge at heart. He is expected to conform to the principle of the order by steadily preserving in the practice of very commendable virtue. An often-quoted verse titled, "The Indispensable Man," is frequently used to illustrate the unnecessary value of egotism. It bears repeating. Sometimes when you're feeling important, sometimes when your ego's in bloom, sometimes when you take it for granted you're the best qualified in the room, sometime when you feel that you're going will leave an unfillable hole, just follow these simple instructions and see how they humble your soul. Take a bucket and fill it with water. Put your hand in it up to the wrist. Pull it out, and the hole that's remaining is a measure of how you'll be missed. You can splash all you want when you enter. You may stir up the water galore, but stop and you will find that in no time, it looks quite the same as before. The moral in this quaint example is to do just the best that you can. Be proud of yourself, but remember, there is no indispensable man. A noted management psychologist, Dr. James G. Carr of Charlotte, North Carolina, in an article in Pace magazine summed it up this way. Power-hungry people do occupy high stations in life at times, and some abuse their power, but to condemn all leaders of the grounds, including those whose primary motive was to serve or those who simply filled a vacuum left by the less competent or less motivated, is ridiculous. Even the selfish did not attain those positions by selfishness alone. With predictable exceptions, authority usually has something to do with the accomplishment and contribution, and in the final analysis, we may have to concede that those who get the most, whether selfishly motivated or not, are sometimes those who have given the most. The master who completes his year in the East with satisfaction can quote the famous American philosophers Bartles and James by saying to the brethren, "Thank you for your support." So there you have it, a very cool piece on the ego. I hope you guys took away something from that. I know I always take away something. Like Juan Sepulveda says, while he's doing the research for an episode, it's rewarding experience for that person as well because you're learning something also. Speaking of Juan Sepulveda, do us a favor, go over to the Winding Stairs podcast and give him a listen, give him a like. He's really working hard to bring you guys some great episodes. I know he just had his first interview a couple weeks ago, and that was fantastic. If you like that show, go check out Rob Lewis's podcast. It's not necessarily Masonic, but it is a very good show. He'll be having new episodes soon. He had to upgrade his internet connection. He's over in Afghanistan right now, and the internet's not exactly the best. So he's working hard to fix that as well. You can follow Juan Sepulveda on Twitter at WindingStairs33. You can follow Rob Lewis at FFC. Please do that. They've got a lot of cool stuff to share. Let's move right along into this week's Famous Freemason. So for the Famous Freemason, I wanted, of course, desperately, and have always wanted to report about Abraham Lincoln, especially since I'm staying in his hotel. But we know now that Abraham Lincoln was a Freemason, or maybe he wasn't. The confusion comes in the fact that he may have received his first degree, and he may not have. We do know he did petition a lodge, but it is believed that he withdrew his petition before completing or receiving degrees because he didn't want it to seem like he was doing it to get votes. You see, it was just before his run for the presidency. That's a pretty stand-up move. In any case, I'm going to quote Abraham Lincoln, because it's one of my favorite quotes ever, and it's actually on a t-shirt that I bought right here at the hotel for a mere $14. It says, "The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time." Anyway, on to the real Famous Freemason of the show. This week, we went with a Canadian brother, George Pigram Bowie. He was born on March 29th in 1881, and he passed away July 7th, 1915. He was killed by a sniper while serving with A Company, 5th Battalion, south of Ypres in 1915. He was born the eldest son of a London civil servant, and by 1911, George Pigram Bowie was working in Vancouver as an architect, and that's really what he's known for. He designed the original Lumberman's Arch, erected at Pender and Hamilton Streets for the 18th through 21st August of 1912 visit of the Duke of Connaught. Constructed entirely of fir, it was reported held together only by its own weight, as no nails, bolts, or fasteners were used. It was later moved to Stanley Park until it was dismantled in 1947. He was a member of Cascade Lodge No. 12. He was initiated August 26th, 1907, passed October 15th, 1907, and raised October 28th, 1907. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You. Please remember to check out the Midnight Freemasons, posting 3 articles a week, always new, always interesting. Check out our Masonic businesses, PB&J Water, run by Brother Jeff Koch, who is an outstanding individual, stand-up guy. They serve for water purification, and he actually handles entire counties, if you can believe that. Pretty awesome guy. Great products. Everything that he uses, made in the United States. Check out Brother John Paul Gomez at Fraternal Ties, bringing you the best neckties and bow ties that you can ever hope to own as a Freemason. These ties are great designs, one of a kind, and when he makes a run of ties, it's only those. He doesn't go back and make others. You can't order past ties. So when they come out, you gotta order them now. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I have to go downstairs and meet my worshipful master, Mike, and my senior warden, another Robert, for dinner at Saludo's. Nice little Italian joint right in the downtown area of Springfield. So until next week, you guys all stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.